This is Business Inspires, the podcast of the Tri-Village Chamber Partnership. To run a successful business, you need resources, valuable connections, and community recognition. Business Inspires will provide you with the tools, resources, and examples to inspire you to create the business you're envisioning. This episode is brought to you by the Tri-Village Chamber Partnership. Our innovative and active chamber is successful because of our smart and engaged members who cultivate our strong business community.
Boost your business with LBB Edutainment. Our expert strategies and coaching empower leaders and teams to transform your workplace culture and inclusivity. Let's create a better world of work today. Begin at lbbedutainment.com.
Grandview Heights seamlessly combines timeless charm with a modern vision.
This is Yasmin Robles, the Chief Sparkle Strategist at Robles Designs. We specialize in creating drool-worthy websites, stunning brands, and innovative marketing strategies for entrepreneurs who are hell-bent on taking over the world. Get started today at roblesdesigns.com.
The City of Upper Arlington, where superior services and citizens come first.
Welcome to Business Inspires, where our goal is to inspire you to create the business you envision. I'm Brett Johnson, Tri-Village Chamber Partnership Board Member and the owner of Circle 27 Media Podcast Consultants. Thank you for following and subscribing to the podcast. With me is Katie Ellis, President and CEO of the Tri-Village Chamber Partnership and co-host of the podcast. It's great to be here with you, Katie.
Same. Great to be here. And we're so excited to have Laura with us from Starburst Media. It was really fun to kind of dig into your website and then learn a little bit more about you and your background. So you started out being interested in being a journalist. And can you just tell us a little bit about like how that developed inside of you?
Sure.
At a young age?
Yeah, sure. I wanted to be everything. And so I ended up switching from English to journalism because I thought that was more realistic than creative writing as a job path. And so I ended up graduating in 2004 when journalism was collapsing throughout the world, starting its collapse, I should say. And so I wasn't able to get a job, and that's fine. Yeah, so I moved to Chicago, and I walked up and down the street, got a bartending job the first day I moved, and then just kind of figured I don't want to go back to school, but I can learn things while I bartend. And so I ended up, oh my gosh, it's like so many different like serendipitous things, but I ended up working for a small ad agency in Chicago because I was bartending in a night where the Irish owner was at the pub where I was bartending and was happy to have a potential writer that worked at a pub. And so I ended up starting to work for him for free to kind of learn a little bit more about marketing, advertising, and all the things. And that happened to be around 2007, right when social media was kind of becoming, I think it was Friendster was the hot thing at the time when I started with Rain, the agency, and they were just kind of like, figure out how this can make us money. And so it became my job to just figure out how they could monetize social media. And so as this was all starting, I was learning along with it. So like as Facebook went from college email address only to all of a sudden, you know, fast forward to what it is today, absolute awful monster. But and so I worked all these different little jobs while I was bartending, and then I decided to quit all the jobs and just work for myself. And when I initially started, I started as focusing on writing, focusing on social media, because that's what I had a lot of experience in. But everyone that I worked with had needs for their websites. And so I just started to learn a little bit more about specifically WordPress, but like coding and everything in general. There were so many great free or really low pay, like low cost services, and there's some still exist, maybe not as accessible as they were, but I was able to just like kind of teach myself all these different things. And so, you know, that was 14, 15 years ago. Fast forward, I'm very fortunate where I get to do just all kinds of websites around the country. I have a few outside of the country, which is great. And just a wide range of clients. And like I said, I want to be everything and do everything. And this kind of gives me a chance to meet a lot of different people that do a lot of different things. And it's still pretty interesting.
Yeah. That's wonderful. And it also mentioned in your about page that you wrote and performed sketch comedy as well.
Yeah.
During one of the things.
Yeah. That's one of the things I used to do, writing. I did a lot of different kind of like satirical and comedy writing, sketch performing at Second City and around Chicago. I bartended at IO, if you're familiar with the Chicago improv scene. So that was one of the great, and I think they're bringing it back now. I heard one of the great improv places where like Amy Poehler and a few others got their start. But yeah, so just a varied background, all the interests. I can jump around and do all these different things that I find, you know, interesting and entertaining.
Super. Do you feel that experience with journalism and then the sketch comedy piece, do you feel that really infuses in your day-to-day and storytelling, creating websites for clients?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think more than anything, not even specifically like the website portion or writing or anything like that, but just problem solving, just being able to see a situation and adapt is, you know, like that's what improv and sketch and a lot of those different things are about. And so being able to just kind of pivot as needed, both, you know, on specific projects, with specific clients, but just as a whole, like I am at that point right now where I'm recognizing all the things that AI is about to do. And so I've been getting better about utilizing that so I can have a better understanding. Like, so for example, I have been blown away by how amazing if I just put a URL in and say, give me a video. 5 minutes later, I have a very creepy, very well done, well written voiceover video. And this was this week, I did this for a client, and so I was like, shit, this is terrifying. But man, it's so useful if I know how to use it, because it's happening regardless. This was like, can you make the tone a little bit friendlier, a little slower and more Midwest? 3 minutes later, I've got a great video with a Midwestern woman. It's got a little bit of a Chicago accent.
Wow.
So be
like an assistant, right? Yeah, a very fast assistant.
that has access to all the good and the bad information. But so like, that's, I think, a good example of pivoting, because I recognize that things are very quickly going to change a lot. And I would rather understand all of these tools that are about to completely overhaul, not just digital marketing, but a lot of service jobs of any kind. And so that's improv. That's being able to roll with it, right?
Yeah.
Wow. That's well, at least understand what you're competing against as well, too. That all of a sudden, like the service that you offer, it's now a moot point. You can type it in and it's, you know, I mean, I don't know if we've gotten there yet, but it potentially, if you're putting a URL in for the video, all of a sudden it's like, you don't need a video person, kind of, depending on the focus of the video.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting for a lot of us, right? Because if I say, for example, and I'm less afraid of it now that I've spent more time with it, because I know I'm starting to see what my role is going to be, because a lot of people are going to be really overwhelmed by this technology. And if I can hold their hands to help them learn it. But if I say, build a website for me that looks like this website, it does it for me.
Wow.
So, but I mean, you still need to know the right terminology. You need to know the right phrases to use and all these different things as far as design and layout and all of that. But, it's wild. It's going to get wild really fast.
Really fast. Yeah. Well, you know, as someone who clearly enjoys what they do, what are some of the most rewarding aspects of running Starburst Media? What keeps you motivated in your entrepreneurial journey?
That is a great question. I will admit that I hit a bit of a rough rut a few years ago. So I started a second business to help me be mentally well for Starburst Media. And that's helped too, because I found that I needed to be creating more with my hands and staring less at computer screens. And so kind of a little bit more energized for Starburst Media now. What continues to make me passionate about what I do with Starburst Media and, you know, things that I've been honing over the years is choosing the people I work with a little bit more carefully to make sure that it's things that I'm passionate about for the most part, where if it's something I care about, where if it's something specific to sustainability, the environment, you know, any one of my 20 different things I really care a lot about, it's a lot easier to do the kind of day-to-day kind of, you know, not so exciting stuff when you know that the end is something that's, you know, hopefully something that'll bring about good change. But yeah.
I was going to ask you if you've been gravitating over the, you know, as someone has done something for as long as you have, you know, and I'm talking 5, 10 years, that sort of thing, you start to gravitate toward certain clients that you'd rather work with. And you have the opportunity to be selective too. You can say no to some people because you're in that, I don't want to call it comfort zone, but you know, there's like, I'm better in this space for you, the client, and myself. And so you've seen that over time then.
Yeah. And that's not something I've ever been good at. And I put down, this year's the year, and I've been good about it the last few weeks, and I will continue to be good at it, because the first time you tell someone no, that's the hard one, but then it just gets a little bit easier every time. The thing that I've found has really burnt me out the last few years is task switching. So when it's like 90 different emails from 90 different people from 15 years of work, it's a lot of, and so I'm trying to cut down on those little, like, you know, trying, we'll see how it goes, but those little changes that, like, even if it's only 15 minutes of change on this website, but then being able to change gears completely to switching to this different website platform and needing to do this. So I'm trying to cut back on that sort of thing, because that really, it just frays you at the edges when you do too much of that. So trying to get a better feel for clients that need maybe less small changes, and people that are like, hey, we really need you to do monthly maintenance. We need you to help with, you know, the more technical aspects of hosting and stuff like that. So I've just been trying to be better about shifting to maybe just like bigger chunks instead of a million small chunks. And like you said, I'm very fortunate to be able to make those decisions and say, this isn't a good fit for me anymore. And I'm hopeful that I can continue to find people to send, because that's always my big problem. I want to help everyone, but that's not helping me or really anyone as a whole, because if I'm burnt out, I'm not doing my best work for anyone. And so, like, just trying to like build up maybe people that are starting out in my like little library of contacts, so that I could say like, hey, I'm not the best person for this, but this person is learning more about WordPress and would be a great fit for you if you're willing to, you know, take some time, that sort of thing. But yeah, it's a fortunate position to be in, to have the luxury of being able to recognize what's a good fit and what's not.
I think it's really smart of you to play in it like that, and also very wise to recognize that burnout and mental well-being. And our next question that really fits in well with that, we know that family is really a significant piece of your life. And how do you balance, I know you said just a few things, but how do you balance in other ways, maybe the demands of being an entrepreneur along with parenthood? And then would you have any advice to the rest of us?
Phew. I don't know if I have any good advice to anyone, but there's no such thing as balance, I don't really think. I mean, do your best, and like I certainly try, but some days will be a lot more work and not great mom days. And some days I'll have frustrated emails from clients because I'm trying to have more of a mom day, you know? And so like today was an early dismissal day, and that's a fun thing you learn once your kid starts school, that there will be a random Thursday and she comes home at 11, and that's great. She's pretty much an independent adult. Although she's 8, like she doesn't need me as much or at all really anymore, but still, like it's good to be able to see that. And like, so I after our podcast, the afternoon is off of meetings and it'll be a light work afternoon. And I'm really grateful that I have that, because even though maybe it's not a great work day, but maybe it'll be a slightly better mom day today. I don't know. We'll see. But just trying to recognize, I guess, for me, that not every day will be 50-50 or 33-33-33 or however you want to look at it, of trying to balance different things, but just trying to do my best to roll with it. And I guess that goes back to improv too, but just rolling with it and doing your best in any given day, and knowing that almost all of us are in a similar boat in some ways. And even if you don't have kids, there are different things that you're, I don't know, trying to juggle as well. And so just giving it your best and assuming everyone else is too, and, you know, rolling with it.
Yeah. When I started doing stuff on my own, I didn't realize that I was becoming, I don't want to call it a role model, but it's that your kids notice. Your kids notice how much time you give to work and you also give to them. And I think you're doing the right thing. If nothing, you know, clients will come and go, but your kids won't. You know, you've got to give them the time that you can, because they will be gone soon enough. As empty nesters, as my wife and I are in that situation, like, okay, we did what we needed to do. We were fine with it, but it's like, but you can't get that time back. You cannot. And I think doing the right thing, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I'm, whether a client's like it or not, I'm giving a half day today to my daughter. I'm just doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I'm really not great at it. I can say I have all these great plans of how to do it, but, you know, every day just try to get a little bit better at it. That's the hope.
What are three pieces of advice? And maybe it doesn't have to be three, but maybe a couple at least. But three is a nice number. What would you give advice give to someone starting out as an entrepreneur today? No matter what they're doing, but holistically, how do you do it on your own? What's the best way to start? What did you learn at the beginning? You're just like, man, I wish I had done it that way, and that would have been easier. What advice would you give?
Oh, that's a very good question, because I don't really know the answer to that either, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, no. It's all we can ask. We're asking. Yeah.
I don't know if this was the best way to do it, but for me, because I'm not a good, like, I'm not a good self-salesperson, I don't like to market myself. So for me, a good way to kind of get in there, when it's like, especially when I moved here to Columbus, to Upper Arlington specifically, was to volunteer with a lot of things I cared about, because for me, that's a good way to find other people that are passionate about the same things I'm passionate about. And then ultimately, that's how I built up my client base when I first started, was just a lot of volunteer work, because I'm not, and that's why I don't do a lot of great networking things, because I'm not good at it, and I don't know. It's just not one of my favorite things. But I can go to, like, volunteer at events or be part of planning committees or boards. And that's a great way for me, at least, to have met a lot of people. And so I would say, maybe if someone else is in a similar shy and not great about self-promotion spot, that's a great way to, when you're starting out, to you know, get a foot into different different businesses, to figure out, you know, who you might be able to work with. You know, I still haven't really gotten organized on this front, but when you start at the very beginning, if you can figure out and talk to people about things like taxes and invoices and all of those things, because I've been using the same invoicing software since maybe 2013. And I, every year I do my annual cleanup of, you know, making sure everything checks. And I've still got some from 2013 and 14 that aren't adding up. Like, you know, at the time I was like, it doesn't really matter. And then I had an accountant that was like, no, this does matter a lot. I was like, oh, well, I don't remember what that was from. I have no idea what that check was. Like, I don't even know what I did for that person. So trying to, like, talk to people and getting a good base of, you know, tools and ways to stay organized from this very start, because even if you're not doing a lot of invoicing, a lot of, you know, expenses or anything at the start, it'll be a lot easier if you have a good foundation of, at least for me, that's the stuff that gives, like, I don't like that part of the job, but if I can have it organized and as streamlined as I can have it, then it's more likely that I do an okay job of keeping up at it. So I guess just be organized is my simple. Mm-hmm. Be organized from the start. And then I think, again, just being flexible. And if you have an initial vision of what, you know, this is the job I want to do, this is, you know, what this business is going to be. And for some people that's more rigid. Like if I'm opening a hardware store, that's a pretty, you know, specific thing that I'm doing, where I'm not pivoting to becoming a yoga studio. But if I'm a consultant or something like that, you don't need to start with like, this is the only type of work I do. Just kind of notice the things and the trends around you, and maybe be willing to kind of flow with what makes the most sense. If your initial vision maybe wasn't exactly spot on, just kind of, you know, learn what you need to learn and flow with what makes the most sense. Like, for example, if ChatGPT is really good at Shopify websites, which it is. So just be willing to be flexible.
For not having the answers off the top of your head, you had great answers. Those are perfect. I love it. I love it.
I've got words, a lot of words, but not specific answers.
No, those were great. Those were great. Thank you so much. And then looking ahead for yourself, what are your goals and aspirations for Starburst Media in the upcoming years? And in addition to that, is there anything that's really exciting you right now, like a project or something on the horizon that you can share with us?
I have a lot of projects that are very exciting to me, but not within Starburst Media. Within Starburst Media, it's mostly just work, which is okay, because what I've recognized is we get paid for jobs because it's work, right? And so I can have this job that is what pays the mortgage and, you know, for groceries and all of that, but I can also have passions that don't necessarily need to be paying me money, but also like just find being paid in other ways, right? So being fulfilled by a different. So I've got a few fun projects there. I don't know if it's relevant to bring up, but I'm finding that those are what, like, making sure that I have things outside of just work to keep me motivated and interested. And, you know, I very much just like to learn new things, and having things other than just work is very important to me.
I think that's wise, because you become a very dull person because you have nothing to talk about but work. You have to have outside interests to bring to a conversation, and home to significant others, to family. They don't want to hear about work when you go to the Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, they do, but it's like, okay, what else are you doing? You know, that sort of thing. I think it's important to have that variety and place it in the right place in your life. That makes a lot of sense. It just does. Yeah. Whether it's more exciting than the job right now, doesn't matter. I think it forms us better. It makes us a better person. Yeah. Sure. So we want to this season end with a light question, a funny question. And this one I thought would be appropriate to you, I think. So if you had to delete all but three apps from your smartphones, which one would you keep?
Oh, gosh.
Isn't that harder than you think? It's harder than you think, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I've been like, for the last year, I wish I could switch to a flip phone and completely toss my smartphone completely. So does this include the Apple apps? Like, does this include text messaging or like outside?
I think I look at it from outside apps, the ones you can delete easily. And it's like, you know what? Goodbye.
Okay.
What would you want of three that you'd want to keep?
So outside of the basics, the foundation of text, you know, music and all that stuff, podcasts, I would keep, there's a really pretty game called Monument Valley. I would keep that because it's very calming and very nice. Similarly, there are a couple like math and logic. I'll consider that one app that I find also good, because I'm trying to do as much as I can. If I have the compulsion to look at my phone, instead of scrolling social media or something else, to try to mindlessly do math and logic problems seems better for me. Yeah. So I would put Monument Valley, math and logic, and the Weather Channel.
Sure.
Because I think it's more accurate than Apple's Weather, which is funny because it's powered by the same information, but I swear it's so different. And I prefer the Weather Channel app. So those are the three options.
Perfect. There's no wrong answer to that. I'm always intrigued by those that would, you know, what do you want to keep? And that says a lot of you. It just does. Yeah. I think the three or four says a lot of the person, what they'd keep on their phone, and the rest would just junk. You know, and we all could do that. We should do that on a monthly basis. Just clean the phone out. clean it out, start over, really think about what have you ever asked the phone, you know, look at the phone. How often have you opened that thing? Get rid of it then.
I mean, that proves that I can't switch to a flip phone because I do use the Weather Channel app.
True.
Like 5 times a day. There we go. I'll keep my iPhone, I guess.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you would like to share to our members and the rest of the community before we hop off?
I don't think so, but this was lovely. So thank you for reaching out, and such a funny, like, full circle moment to think that it was 7 years ago that we did the initial first podcast of the whole series. So it's great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being a part of this. And how can we get a hold of you? And we'll put those in the show notes as well.
Starburstmedia.com, which I have not updated for more than 9 years as of this week as well. So that's kind of embarrassing when you're like, I looked at your website. I was like, oh yeah, that's a thing I should try to find time to update. But starburstmedia.com has my email, laura@starburstcolumbus.com. And those would be the two primary ways.
Great. Thanks, Laura. Listeners, thank you for joining us. And don't forget to check out our podcast page on the Tri-Village Chamber website. Look for that podcast tab at the top of the homepage. Tell us what you think about this or any of our other episodes at info@chamberpartnership.org.
Did you know sponsoring a Tri-Village Chamber event not only builds brand awareness, but expands your network? Our chamber unites hundreds of businesses and individuals through meaningful relationships, educational programming, exclusive resources, and awesome events. Sponsorship supports our efforts to build and strengthen the community. To find out which opportunities are best for you, contact me directly at Katie, K-A-T-I-E, @chamberpartnership.org. Thanks for partnering with us.
Thanks for listening to Business Inspires. Check out the podcast show notes for information about this podcast, to schedule a guest appearance, or to find out more about sponsoring this podcast.